Father, and I ask this morning that He would clarify Your Word in the things that are said, Lord, that You'd anoint me to speak forth what You've laid on my heart. You'd anoint every one of our ears to hear Your Word, Lord Jesus. You'd give each one of us something that we can digest spiritually and that we can learn and grow from, Father, something that will help us and encourage us and take care of any of the problems that are in our life, Lord. You know what we're going through. You know what we need, and Your Word is what meets those needs, Father. So I ask that the Holy Spirit meet every need in this place this morning, in every heart, for only You can do that. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. God's Word, my life. I want to start out with Luke 10, 38 through 43. And I'm going to read that in the New Living Translation because it kind of says it in our language today so you can understand it. And I know it's going to touch some of your hearts this morning because the Holy Spirit already told me that's what He was going to do. In verse 38, it says, "As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a village where a woman named Martha welcomed them into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what He taught. But Martha was worrying over the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, 'Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to You that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me.'" None of you have ever felt like that, right? "But Jesus said," or the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are so upset over all these details. There's really only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and I won't take it away from her." I thought that said it very well. Now, you got to understand something. Jesus was not against Martha fixing a meal. I don't think any of us are. But see, there's certain times when other things are more important than food. And Jesus said, "Mary has chosen the right thing this time." And another thing He was trying to tell her is that if she would sit at His feet, that would take care of the worrying. Now, none of you in here worry, do you? Right? Good. I thought so. Martha needed to learn to stop worrying, and Jesus gave her the answer, but be concerned about learning and believing God's Word. Then you won't be worried about everything. Learning and abiding in the Word is the most important thing. It was what Mary had discovered, and Jesus would not take that away from her. First, you learn the Word and lay the foundation of your life in the Word. You apply the Word of God to every issue and area of your life. But what many believers do is what Martha did. They take their worry to the Word instead of taking the Word to defeat their worry. Did you catch that? They take their worry to the Word instead of taking the Word to defeat their worry. Talk to your worries about your God and let God help you take care of the worries. They say, "Look, I'm right about this and here's why," when they should have filtered the way they felt and thought through the Word of God before they ever said anything to anyone else. How many of you shared your worries, your problems with somebody else, but you'd never talked to God about them yet? We've all done that. Yeah, that was just all free. That was not really part of the message. John 6:63. If you would have your Bibles turned there with me, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, His disciples, and all of them at this time. And He was really preaching and teaching straight with them. And here's just a key verse. I'm not taking it out of context. I just want to capitalize on the Word of God. Jesus said, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. I hope that's one of your key verses that you love more than any other, because it is so true to what Jesus said. You cannot have spiritual life without spiritual food. If you're trying to live a strong spiritual life, but you don't feed yourself spiritually, you will not be able to live with a strong spiritual life. If you think you can, then try it in the natural. If you read your Bible once a week, then eat once a week. Oh, John, that ain't fair. Oh, yeah, it is. Which one's more important, your physical body or your spiritual body? Which one's going to outlive the other? Your spiritual's going to outlive. So it seems to me that would make sense that it should be fed the most. In the Amplified, it says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. He is the life giver. The flesh conveys no benefit whatever. There is no profit in it. The words and truths that I have been speaking to you are spirit and life." In the Bible, in basic English, it says, "The Spirit is the life giver. The flesh is of no value. The words which I have said to you are spirit and they are life." In the Good News Bible, it says, "What gives life is God's Spirit. Human power is of no use at all. The words I have spoken to you bring God's life-giving Spirit." In God's Word translation of the Bible, it says, "Life is spiritual. Your physical existence doesn't contribute to that life. The words that I have spoken to you are spiritual. They are life." And one more in the Message Bible. "The Spirit can make life. Sheer muscle and willpower don't make anything happen." Oh, very good. And that's true. How have you ever been able to do something with your physical muscles that would change things spiritually? No. It don't work. It says, "Every word I've spoken to you is a spirit word, and so it is life-making." God's Word makes your spiritual life come alive. Go to Romans 1:9. I'm going to have you use your Bible quite a bit this morning, so be prepared. I want to see how well you know your books of the Bible. In Romans 1:9 it says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." Now, the key there is, I serve God with my spirit. I serve God with my spirit. Then why is your flesh here this morning? Because it's what brought your spirit here. See, your spirit can't go anywhere without your flesh. It has to have the vehicle. Your flesh is just a vehicle for your spirit. Now, your flesh may not have wanted to come this morning, but I can be very clear in saying your spirit needed to come this morning. See? And if you had an argument between your spirit and your flesh this morning, I'm glad at least this morning your spirit won. It needs to win all the time. See, you cannot serve God with your flesh except to make it do what your spirit wants. You cannot serve God with your flesh. You can only serve Him with your spirit. In Romans chapter 2, verse 29, it says, "But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit." And that is your born-again spirit. That's not talking about the Holy Spirit. That is your born-again spirit. "The circumcision is of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God." Acts 7:51. I'm leading up to something here. I want to lay a foundation. Acts 7, verse 51. "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. We're seeing a contrast in these two scriptures here of an unborn-again person and a person that's born again. Your flesh, before you were saved, resisted God. Your flesh, since you got saved, still resists God. Your spirit now is one with Him. You're born again. You've got life in you, and it wants the things of God, but your flesh still doesn't. And see, the word circumcision now, he says it's of the heart. What God did was when He came in and brought the Holy Spirit into your life, when you invited Him in, then He separated your born-again spirit from your flesh. Now you've got to take the mind, your thinking process, and renew it on a daily basis with the Word of God so you can enhance or help that separation and keep the two separated. Go over to Philippians 3, verse 3. He explains this a little bit further. Now, I know you understand this, so when I say God's Word, my life, I'm talking about my spiritual life. I'm not talking about my physical life. I will go take care of that as soon as we get this service over. I will go take care of the physical. And most all of us in here will, I'm sure. But that's second place. It has to wait. Philippians 3, verse 3, says, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." Again, he's talking about your born-again spirit here. We are the circumcision who worship God in spirit. When Jesus comes in, He cuts off the sin nature. He circumcises the heart and gives you a new nature that is alive to God. Your recreated spirit. And now you can worship God in spirit and truth anytime you want to, just because you want to. Go to John 4, 23 and 24. Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, if you remember. And He told her how to worship God, and she could not understand it because she couldn't be born again until after Jesus died. So He said in verse 23, "The hour is coming, and now is," because He was here now. He said, "The hour is now when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him." God is spirit. Those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And you cannot worship God with your flesh. When you're raising your hands and worshiping God, that is because that's what your spirit wants to do. Your flesh is saying, "My arms are tired. What's you doing with this? Doesn't that look funny with your hands and your arms in the air? What are you clapping for? It just makes a lot of noise." That's what your flesh is complaining about, because it doesn't want to do that. But if you go to a ball game, people will go there and scream and rant and rave and jump up and down, and they get involved, and that's okay. Well, what's the matter with getting involved spiritually? They're doing what the flesh wants there. The flesh is going to do what I want here. And I like the freedom I have spiritually, and if I want to raise my hands and praise the Lord, I'll do it. If you don't like it, look the other way. I don't mean to offend you, but leave me room to have my freedom to worship my God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You think you're going to get to heaven and you're not going to raise your hands and praise and worship Him? Well, of course we are. Your flesh won't be there to stop you then. Praise God. I hope I don't know what it's like there because I haven't been there yet. But, you know, when I jump up and down for the Lord, I don't want to just jump one or two feet like I can here, and then gravity pulls me down. You know, I want to jump about 30 or 40 feet in the air. Yeah. Praise God and worship Him and enjoy it. Glory to God. Amen. Worship Him in spirit and truth. Go to 1 Corinthians 6:17. How many of you are going to heaven because you have to? No? Okay. Well, let's serve Him here like we enjoy it then. Amen? 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. I mean, been joined. Amen. You're one spirit with him. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's wonderful. That's why when His Word goes forth and you read His Word or you hear somebody teaching or preaching and there's an anointing on it, it does something in your spirit because His Spirit and your spirit are rejoicing together. They're one. They're joined. The word joined means to glue together, adhere to, cleave to company with, to yoke together. You're yoked together with Him. You're glued to Him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Super glue. I like it. Chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, verses 1 and 2. You're joined together with Him. Pursue love. Desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Pursue love, desire spiritual gifts. Now the word gifts there is not in the original. That's why it's in italics, at least it is in my Bible. So they didn't have it in the Greek. Pursue love and desire spiritual. So it's not just the gifts you're after. It's everything that God has spiritually that you can have and you need and those around you need. So desire spiritual. Hallelujah. And that's easy to do because you're joined to Him. You're one with Him. It's easy to desire the things of the Lord. He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. That's why you need to be praying in tongues, because that's your language to your Heavenly Father. He says, for no one understands Him. However, in the Spirit, He speaks mysteries. And the words mysteries, to us, we always think that's an unknown. Well, when you see it here in God's Word, write, mark out the word mystery and put in there spiritual truth. God says when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you're speaking spiritual truths. You say, well, what good is it do me because I can't understand it? Somehow we've got to understand that God had to have a way past your brain. The only way He can get past your brain is to get into your spirit. So in your spirit, you're speaking spiritual truths. And when you get enough spiritual truth in you, let me guarantee you, my brother and sister, it will start coming up out of you. I remember when I was in my teens, late teens, early 20s, I was reading the Word of God on a real strong scale. I was reading chapters and books weekly and monthly. And I found out something about me. Pretty soon, I had to do something. I couldn't just sit anymore in church. I didn't care if I was clean in the church. I had to be doing something for the Lord. So I tried to teach the children, one of the children's classes. Boy, I found out in 2 weeks, that don't fit me. I just couldn't do it. I didn't know I could be an adult teacher at that time. I just knew I couldn't do that. Fact is, it stopped me from being almost from ever teaching of anything again. I was so, oh, it was horrible. I mean, talk about go blank. I went totally blank. Fact is, when we started, and I was one of the teenagers that we started, I was about 19 or 20, and four of us guys got together and we started a youth group on Sunday night. And so some of them that was the other leaders, they said, well, John, why don't you speak? I said, no. But the Lord spoke to my heart and He said, this is what you tell them. You're not ready now, but when you are ready, you'll ask them if you can speak. And it was 6 months later, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He says, this is what I want you to talk about. You get up and share with them. And I haven't kept my mouth shut since. But I had to find out where God wanted me. But I tell you, you start getting the Word of God and prayer in you, you can't keep quiet. You can't just keep it to yourself. You got to find somebody to share it with. Because that's what the Holy Ghost does. He stirs you up. So when you're praying in the Holy Ghost and you're speaking spiritual truths into your spirit's going to get full and start overflowing. And it's going to overflow on those around you. If you don't believe it, you try and get around a pastor and not talk about the Word of God. It just comes up at him. He can't stop it. And I love it because we get going and we just have a ball. We'd rather do that than do anything else. So let the work take care of itself. We're just going to have fun. But it is. It is such fun serving and praising God. But you, praying in tongues is such an important thing in your life. Please do it more and more. Because the more spiritual truths and sacred secrets that you speak, the more you will know about Him. You say, well, how does it get into your natural brain? I don't have to know that. It just does. Your spirit and your natural thinking never get that far apart. It's all in one head. And it just starts spilling over into you. In Galatians 5:16, it's talking about once you do this, then what'll happen? This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Now again, that's talking about your born-again spirit. It's not talking about the Holy Ghost. Let me share something here with you. Don't get the wrong idea that I'm putting the Holy Ghost out, or that you're more than the Holy Ghost. I don't mean that at all. What I'm saying is that your decisions are made in your spirit and in your soul, and if you don't decide what to do, the Holy Ghost can't do anything. He's there. He's there to help you. But the decisions are made in your spirit and in your soul. And so as you're filled with the Word of God, then you make them decisions. The Holy Ghost just comes right in alongside of you and helps fills you up with His Word. So when you say walk in your spirit, it's your spirit with the Holy Ghost in it that you're walking in. So you're walking in your spirit and you're also walking in the Holy Ghost. If this is new to you, just meditate on it and think on it. Get the tape and listen to it. Meditate on what I'm telling you this morning because it absolutely works. Guaranteed. See, I don't have to back this up. God's Word backs it up and I've proven it and it works in my life and it'll work in your life. Walk in your born-again spirit. Make those decisions according to the Word of God. Walk in your spirit. And you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Now, He's telling you something here. If you got a problem with your flesh, He's telling you right here how to overcome it. How many of you have a problem with your flesh? Come on. One or two. Oh, most of you had your hands up. Yes, that's good. We all have it. And you will until Jesus comes. But the more you walk in your spirit, the less your flesh has to say. Shut it up. Tell yourself to shut up. That's legal. The Bible says talking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Well, He says tell you to talk to yourself. Pardon? They have pills for that? They have pills for that? Yeah, they do. It's gospels. Take some gospels, the Word of God, and start talking to yourself. Quote the Word out loud. Talk about the Word of God. Talk about Jesus. Talk about what His Word says you are and who you are in Him. Start believing what is in your spirit instead of what's in your head. How many times has your head got you in trouble? How many of you felt like you were sick and you started talking about, sure enough, you got sick? Well, talk to your sickness about your God. Tell your sickness how big your God is. Tell that thing to leave you. It has no right in your spiritual body. It has no right in your physical body. It's just seeing how far it can get. Galatians 5:17 and 18. We're right there, so just let's take the next two verses. The flesh lusts against the spirit. That's again, it's talking about your born-again spirit, your flesh and your spirit. They lust against each other. They fight against each other. Your spirit, your born-again spirit against your flesh. And these are contrary to one another so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Amen. led by your born-again spirit, you're not under law. How many of you serve God because you have to? That's law. How many of you have been raised in a church where it was religious? There was more things you couldn't do than you could do. In fact, this is about 95 to 1. I was raised in a Pentecostal religious, very religious church. And I would not even be allowed back in that church to say anything anymore. Why? Because I'm too free. Took me a lot of years, but I'm free. Praise God. I serve God because I want to and I enjoy it. I did not do that when I was a teenager. I was scared not to. I served God because I was scared. I was afraid of what would happen if I didn't. No, not anymore. Oh, praise the Lord. I enjoy my walk with God. It is fun. God is a good God. He's not an ugly heavenly Father sitting up there with a big stick waiting for me to do something wrong. How many of you have been afraid to go to God when you do something wrong? I used to be. Now I've found out that's the place to run. When you make a mistake, man, run to God as fast as you can get there and He'll take care of it. You know, He doesn't condemn you. There's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. He don't condemn you for anything. He comes alongside you, puts His arm around you, and says, come on, let's get up and go. We can make it. I'll help you make it. Thank you, Jesus. That's the Holy Ghost inside of you. He's rooting for you to do what's right. He's not rooting for you to do what's wrong. He don't have to, man. Oh, praise the Lord. Aren't you glad you're joined to His Spirit? Praise the Lord. Galatians 5:22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, does that sound like that's something you have to do, or that you've got to make yourself do? Well, that fruit, we've always thought that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And to a degree, that is true. But mainly that fruit is the fruit of your born-again spirit, the life of Christ in your born-again spirit. And it's your spirit that produces that fruit. It comes up out of you. You don't have to go and sit on a stool and wait, you know, and ask the Lord, well, now, can I show love here or should I? All you got to do is decide to do it and start acting on it. See, the problem that you have showing love or walking in love is not your spirit. It's your flesh. Because your flesh is looking at the problem, which is usually somebody that you know pretty well. Your flesh is looking at the problem and saying, I don't like what you did. Your spirit's looking at the problem and saying, yeah, but that doesn't control my life. You don't have to make the decisions because they did what they did. Doesn't mean you have to do what they did. And so there's the battle between your flesh and your spirit. Like he said back in the other verse there, your flesh and your spirit lust and fight against each other. And they constantly will do that because your flesh never got saved. Are you going to take your flesh to heaven with you? Thank God we're not. So just put it in its place while it's down here. Is your flesh stronger than your spirit? We act like it most of the time. You know that scripture that says, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world? He's talking about your born-again spirit is greater than your flesh. It's like that. You know, that you've all heard this saying. I was told it was an old Indian saying. I don't know who started it. Like there's two dogs inside of you fighting. One's black and one's white. And so somebody asked, well, which one's winning? Seems like they're fighting all the time. Which one's winning? He says, whichever one I feed the most. So if you're feeding your flesh, it's going to win. If you're feeding your spirit, it's going to win. Walk in your spirit. See, God's word is my life. If I don't take the life of God and put it in my spirit is going to get weak. How many of you know that God's word doesn't leap off the page and jump in through your mouth and get there? God's word has power. God's word has life. But it can't get into you unless you choose to put it there. How many of you will go up to, let's be literal here. This afternoon, after service, within an hour or two, you're going to sit down to a big meal. How many of you are going to sit there and not do anything with it? The food's going to jump into your mouth all of a sudden by itself? I don't think so. How many of you are going to dig in? You know what your elbow's for. You bet we do. And we're going to take care of it. Well, the Word of God is the same way. If you don't put it in you, it ain't going to get there. It is your spiritual life. If you don't do it, it won't get done. You know, I harp on that. I've been harping on that same thing for 40 years. And I'm going to keep right on harping on it because that's what God's telling me to do. Because every one of us in here can be stronger spiritually than what we are right now. And we're going to need it. How many of you know what kind of battle you're going to face tomorrow? In Christ, you already have the strength to face tomorrow's problem if you've been staying in prayer and in His Word on a daily basis. You have the strength. You have the ability to face tomorrow. But if you're worried about tomorrow, it's because you're not thinking God's Word. God's Word takes care of your worries. Galatians 5:25. If we live in the Spirit, born-again Spirit, let us also walk in our born-again Spirit. This word walk here is the word stoiko in Hebrew or Greek. It means to signify to walk in line and is used metaphorically of walking in relation to others. Walking by your born-again Spirit, an exhortation to keep step with one another with submission of heart to the Holy Spirit. So basically what that word is talking about there is talking about how you and I treat one another. How many of you know that the world is not really a problem to you and me? We expect them to act like the world. How many brothers and sisters in Christ that you, as far as you're concerned, think that they're acting like the world and they don't have a right to, and you're getting offended? How many of us know how each other should live? But we don't want them to think of how we should live. It's all right if I tell you how you should live and what you're doing wrong, but don't you tell me. That's the way we act most of the time. But this little verse here takes care of that. If we walk in the Spirit, if we live in the Spirit, in other words, you're joined to Him and you're communicating with God and you're living in your Spirit, He says walk with other people as though you're living in the Spirit. Wow. You know God took care of your problem before the problem existed? We just didn't know it. We don't act like it sometimes. Well, praise God. Galatians 6, verse 1. Go down a couple more verses. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, in other words, you who are walking in your born-again spirit, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also should be tempted. Now, you can take that verse and say, well, see, God told me I could straighten my brother out. That may be taking it out of context just a little bit, but He gave me the authority to straighten you all out. I don't think so. He said, be sure and check that you're walking in the Spirit before you say anything. Actually, I wished He'd put on there, if you're not walking in your Spirit, keep your mouth shut. That's what He seems like He should have put in there. But if we're walking in our born-again Spirit and we walk in humility and love, then we can help those around us. How many of us have had somebody correct us in our life? Does it make a difference in how they do it? Yes. Oh, yes, it does, doesn't it? it's important, the attitude you and I have when we try and help somebody. If somebody comes up and says, do it this way or else, for some reason we just don't seem to hear that. Well, a wall comes up, our feelings get in the way. But if somebody comes up and says, can I help you? Can I help you do this? You know, they open their heart up and you say, well, let's try it this way. Let's, you know, this is what the Lord's telling me to, come on, let's just share with one another. Let me help you lift the load. What a difference. You, which are in the Spirit, you are walking in the Spirit, you can help one another. He didn't say correct. He said help. Then he goes on. This isn't my notes, but verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. See, that tells how to operate in verse 1. Bear the other's burden. Don't correct them and come out of with an attitude like you know where they're wrong, and if they just listen, you could straighten them out. If you're going to use that attitude, use it on yourself. How's that? Yeah. Ephesians 4:21. Yeah, I don't know when I started, so I don't know when I'm supposed to quit. I didn't watch. I'm sorry, Dennis and Kenny. I wasn't watching. Ephesians 4:21-24. He says, if indeed you have heard him. I wonder why Paul said that. Huh. You ever noticed that before? Well, is there a possibility you didn't hear what God said to you? Probably so. Must have been. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Amen. Put on the new man. Okay. That means that when you got born again, you were not grown up spiritually. The same as you when you got born into this world as a human being, you were not grown up, although some of us thought we were. Especially when... Oh, shut up, John. Don't go there. No. Remember your flesh was programmed by your old spirit and your five senses? Your new man, the born-again spirit, has to be programmed by the Word of God. And if you don't renew your mind and your thinking process by the Word of God, feed that new spirit, then you're not going to be walking in that recreated, born-again spirit. I'm just going to read a few verses I have written out here. You just listen. In Psalms 19, verses 7 through 11, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." Now, my basis for this is God's Word, my life, and I'm just sharing some scriptures that will help us in this area. Verse 8 of Psalms 19, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." Verse 9, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." Verse 11, "Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." Psalms 119, verse 103, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Now, he's not talking about physical words or physical thinking or tasting here. He's talking about the Word of God being sweet to your spirit. Jeremiah 15, verse 16, "Your words were found, and I ate them, and your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." Matthew 4, verse 4, "But he answered and said, It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And 1 Peter 2:2, "As newborn babes desire the pure pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Amen. God's Word, my life. I trust it's yours also. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the Word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to open the altars this morning. If there's anyone here who has never been born again, accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, we want to invite you to come do that this morning and give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. It will change your life in a wonderful, wonderful way. And also, if you've been backslidden, not been in the Word of God, not been doing your walk with God like you know you should, and you're in a backslidden condition, you want to get back right with God this morning and get back into fellowship, the altars are open for that also this morning. And also, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit with the gift of speaking in tongues and that evidence from the Lord, then you can be filled with the Holy Spirit this morning. It is something that's very, very important to a Christian that you need to have and do every day of your life, because it gives you strength. We didn't read it this morning, but in 1 Corinthians 14, the verses 3 and 4, it talks about through praying in the Holy Spirit did you edify or build yourself up spiritually. And so if you want any one of those three areas this morning, we're going to sing a chorus, and then at the end of that chorus, if you want to come up, or during that chorus, you want to come forward, we'll do that. Hallelujah.